This is Avery After Dark, and I'm your host, Avery Ross. It is a pleasure to be with you all, and I have a good episode coming up for you today. I am happy that you all were so interested in last week's episode about Natalie Wood and her case, and I got a lot of comments talking about if some of these men weren't famous and rich, that Natalie's case would have gone down much differently. And I agree. You see this a lot with celebrities and politicians. Many of them roll by the rules for the not for me type mentality, and it's pretty frustrating to watch. I totally get it. But a similar case to Natalie's that I covered a few months back was the Chappaquiddick incident. The night Ted Kennedy, a member of the Kennedy family, went on a late-night drive that resulted in the death of his 28-year-old passenger, Mary Jo Kopechne. For those of you who don't know, Ted and Mary Jo left a party they were at, and he drunkenly crashed his car into a pond during the drive. He got out of the car, but Mary Jo did not, and he left her there for dead without calling police. Ted didn't report the accident until late the next morning. I don't even have words of how vile that is to do to another person. Mary Jo died that night, and Ted Kennedy ended up with a 2-month suspended sentence after pleading guilty to a charge of leaving the scene of an accident. 2-month suspended sentence. And then he went on to serve as the senator of Massachusetts for nearly 47 years. You know, the worst part about that is the public knew what happened with Ted and Mary Jo Kopechne and still supported him for years. This was very well known. I just can't imagine being a member of Mary Jo's family having to watch this man be paraded as a senator after what happened to their daughter. But yeah, I just noticed a lot of the comments on Natalie Wood's case and the Chappaquiddick incident were very similar. Like, if these men weren't who they were, things would have gone down much differently for them. But anyways, I'm glad that many of you share the same outlook as I do. And I just believe it's good to get those stories out to hold people responsible. No one is above the law. I don't care how much money you have or how famous you are or what family that you come from. So anyways, today's case is a bizarre one for you all. It's a story that people have a lot of different opinions on what they think happened and why. And to get into it, we gotta go under, down under, to Australia. Sylvan, Australia, to be exact, and that's where our story begins. When I posted this story on TikTok, it got millions of views and thousands of comments, and I think that speaks to how strange of a story it is. Today, we are talking about the bizarre Tromp family road trip and disappearance. The Tromp family was a seemingly normal, hardworking family living in Sylvan, Australia. The Tromp family consisted of 5 members: Mark, 51, the father; Jacoba, 53, the mother; and their 3 adult children, Rihanna, 29, Mitchell, 25, and Ella, 22. The whole family worked on their family's berry farm every day of the week, and they also had an earth-moving business. Sylvan, Australia draws tourists to their many pick-yourself orchards and berry farms. The area is apparently very well suited for growing fruits, vegetables, and flowers. So the family had a good, busy business life. They were obviously close as they worked together 7 days a week, and things seemed to be going all right for them. Until August 29th, 2016, when the entire family up and fled their farm together and then went missing. No one noticed that the family was missing at first, but eventually when the police got wind that they just up and took off and were now missing, they went to the Tromp home to investigate. They found the youngest daughter Ella's car gone. It looked like that was the car that the family must have fled in. Police found the doors to the family's home were unlocked. Inside, they find their cell phones, passports, credit cards, all left conspicuously out in the open. It looked like they were wanting to be untraceable with a cash-only trip, and whatever was going on, the Tromps didn't want to be followed or tracked. police found their home was also in a state of disarray. There were financial papers stacked about everywhere, almost as if the family had been going through their farm's financial records from the past years. The documents seemed almost rifled through, as if they were looking for something. But other than this, there were no signs of any kind of injuries or accidents, so police have no idea why this family would up and run. So let's get into what happened during this bizarre road trip. So they take off, and Mitchell, the Tromps' son, was the only one who brought his cell phone. Mitchell seemed like the only member of the family who knew that something was off about all this and wanted his phone as a lifeline to civilization in case things went south on this road trip. But only a few miles into the trip, his parents realize that he has his phone and make him throw it out the car window. They said it could be used to track them, and he did. So after this, the family was truly cut off from anyone and everyone. The Tromps drove the entire first day and night until reaching the city of Bathurst, which was about 500 miles away from their home. The next day, on August 30th, Mitchell reportedly had enough of his family's delusional trip and separated from them at 7 a.m. He hopped on the train and was headed back home. The rest of the family then drives to the Janolan Caves, where Ella and Rihanna also break off from their parents and then steal a car. They drove the stolen car to Goulburn and reported the parents as missing. But then, for some reason, Ella and Rihanna split up. This is where things take a stranger turn. A local man named Keith Whitaker was driving his truck in the area when he felt a kick. He pulled over to find Rihanna Tromp lying in the bed of his truck. He said, quote, "I turned around and saw two legs stretched across the back between my seat and the floor. She was lying on the floor. I got extreme shock." He found Rihanna was in a complete catatonic state and didn't know who she was or where she was. A catatonic state usually involves someone's lack of movement and communication. They can also be agitated, confused, and restless. It's usually in response to some kind of recent stressful or traumatic event. When they're portrayed in TV or in movies, you'll see the person and they're just out of it, almost like frozen in a way. So Keith immediately called police and Rihanna was taken to the hospital for evaluations. But at first, they had no idea who this woman was, as she couldn't tell them her name or anything about herself. It was only after she was taken in that they identified her as Rihanna Tromp, one of the members of the missing Tromp tribe. Finding Rihanna only led to more concern. What was going on with this family? What was going on during this road trip that was resulting in their daughter to be found in this kind of catatonic state? It was all extremely alarming to officials, and finding her only led to more questions. So Rihanna's in the hospital, and Ella returns home Tuesday night and was greeted by police. She was charged with stealing that car, but under a Mental Health Act in New South Wales, the charges were later dropped. And Mitchell arrived home from the train the next morning. Police are asking them a lot of questions, and Mitchell expressed regret for leaving his family and said that he probably should have stayed with them to help as they spiraled out of control. He said, "I thought getting out was the best idea for me at the time. In hindsight, I should have tried to stay with them and try and help bring them back around and talk to them more, but I got out of the car." Authorities are asking them about their parents. And about his dad, he said, quote, "He's scared that people are after him. He's not in a good state of mind." So the media has gotten a hold of this case, and it's all over the Australian news at this point. This sparked one of the most bizarre missing persons cases in Australian history. It would be like one day your neighbors, who seemed pretty normal, just up and fleeing. Then there's this manhunt for them. I think a lot of people were wondering if the family was hiding something or running from someone, who did they not want to be tracked by? People were guessing that maybe the mob was after them, or maybe they were involved in some kind of crazy cult. So police were asking Mitchell and Ella about their parents' behavior. They stated that their parents had been stressed lately, but insisted that they weren't dangerous in any way. And now just a quick word from today's sponsors. So just the parents were missing at this point. Two of the siblings are back home. One is being treated in the hospital in a catatonic state. Mark and Jacoba, where were they? They were still in the midst and days into this erratic, bizarre road trip. Mark and Jacoba drove back down south towards Sylvan to Wangaratta, and then they separated. So it's weird enough that this family up and leaves. They're trying to get off the grid, but it's even stranger how one by one they separate from each other on this trip. It's like they all left together, but then it became every man and woman for themselves. They also seem to have no game plan. They're just bouncing from one city to the next. Very strange, and this next part is where it gets even more bizarre if you can imagine it. So late one night, around 10 p.m., a couple driving down the road looked in their rearview mirror to see that they were being dangerously tailgated by someone. This car was aggressively following the couple, and minute by minute, they were getting more and more fearful. The man behind the wheel of this car would be Mark Tromp. The couple was really scared, and they said that he was so close to their car that they couldn't even see his headlights. That is close. This tailgating continued, and the couple pulled their car over, where Mark pulled up right behind them. Mark then got out of the car, began running straight towards them, then randomly stopped in the middle of the road and just stood there and stared at them, crazed. He then turned and ran into a nearby park and vanished. Police found his car with the keys left in the ignition. They searched for him, but Mark Tromp had disappeared into the woods. What's going on? They had no idea where he could have gone, but there was a report of some break-ins at a local motel nearby, and they do believe that this may have been Mark Tromp. So it's safe to say that this man is unwell, to say the least, but he is nowhere to be found. On September 1st, Jacoba was found in the town of Yass, trying to book a hotel room with no way of paying. She was exhibiting signs of confusion and was brought to a local hospital where she was evaluated and placed under observation. They ID her as Jacoba Tromp, so they have found four of the five members of this family, but the search was still on for Mark Tromp. And during all this, police are asking this family, what happened, what made them leave, what's going on, and they really don't have any answers. Finally, on September 3rd, Mark Tromp was found wandering down a road in Wangaratta one evening. He was taken to the police station for questioning and was there for hours. Police asked him what happened, what made him leave, and again, they don't really get any definitive answers on anything. They also gave him a mental health assessment, and then Mark Tromp was released. And as he was leaving, he flipped the middle finger to onlookers and the media as he drove off. Because at this point, there was quite a crowd following this family saga and waiting outside the station for a glimpse at Mark. The next day, Mitchell and Ella publicly thanked police and the media for finding their father. Ella and Mitchell told the press that they had no explanation for the trip, but they felt a fear for their lives and left. Police did a lot of investigating into the family and the family's connections, but couldn't find any threats against them. The family had no prior mental health issues. They weren't involved in any cults or suspicious religious organizations. There was no drug use, no debts. Mark did later apologize for the concern caused by all the events. And the family also mentioned that they were originally planning on fleeing the country, but didn't because they figured their passports would be tracked. Fleeing your country? What? So let's get into some of the possible explanations of what could have happened here. One theory was that the family was being chased by someone, but they just weren't saying who or why. Police didn't find any questionable connections to anyone in particular, but the fact that the family was so fearful and ready to leave, and then so tight-lipped, makes you wonder. Another theory was that the family may have ingested some kind of toxin working on their farm. Chemicals and other treatments are used all the time on farms, so was it possible that the family ingested something that maybe would provide these kind of hallucinations that they were being followed and tracked? There were quite a few people in my comments section that mentioned this theory, but police don't believe this to be true, and to me, this theory seems a bit far-fetched. For one, there was no evidence of any kind of poisoning when they were treated in the hospitals, as far as I know. And they were medically evaluated, so if they were poisoned by something, I would think that this would have been found by doctors. And I would also think they would just be presenting with other symptoms of poisoning, like becoming physically ill, but they weren't. The last theory is folie à deux, also known as a shared delusion. This is a psychological condition that can affect families, and it's where a delusion can be transmitted from one individual to another. Most of these cases are with couples, parents and children, and siblings. This one seems the most likely to me. Doctors said it seemed like the family was reinforcing each other's fears and paranoia throughout the entire ordeal, and it seems like the paranoia started with the parents, Mark and Jacoba. It was said that the two had fears that someone was after them and would rob and kill them. In a later interview, Rihanna said, quote, "You do start thinking the same. You have a few things and they do build up. You can get sick in some way." Folie à deux is rare, but possible, especially for a family who is maybe more isolated, working on this farm day in and day out, and was interacting with mainly each other on a daily basis. Either way, it's eerie that the family, so many years later, has never really provided any explanation one way or another. I gotta say, I feel sorry for the three kids in this family the most. I know they are adults, but by the looks of it, they got dragged into whatever was going on with their parents. Parents dragging their kids into their problems and transferring their issues onto the kids is pretty unfair. I can speak from personal experience of having a family member pull you into their issues and delusions. It sucks, and you can easily get wrapped up in it. I mean, that's your family member and you love them and support them, but damn, at a certain point, you got to get some help for yourself. I mean, for the Trump's daughter to end up in the bed of a stranger's truck, catatonic, and needing hospitalization, this paranoia-induced trip was obviously extremely traumatizing for her. It seems like the other two kids came out a bit easier in a sense, but I do feel for her. I just don't believe that this trip would have ever happened if not for the parents planting these fears and paranoia in their children's heads. I don't think that they would have ever left. I think that the parents dragged them into it and thus created this huge media circus. And again, they were so fearful and left on this trip together, but they all separated from each other, which I don't understand. But from all accounts, the Trump family has kept a low profile since this incident and went back to living a pretty normal life. And this is one of those cases where everyone involved makes it out alive, which is always a really nice ending. Sometimes, especially in the past few days, I've needed a break from some of the heavier cases. Talking about them every week can get wearing after a while. But this story had the best outcome possible, so that is good. I would love to be a fly on the wall in the Trump house and see what they say about their road trip to each other, if they ever talk about it. But who knows? Maybe it bonded them. I do hope that the Trumps are doing well nowadays. Let me know your thoughts on this bizarre disappearance. Leave them in the comments. I really want to hear y'all's take on this case. I'm excited to let you know. I'm working on a bunch of new stories for you all. I am so excited for you guys to hear. In the meantime, for more cases, tales, haunts, tap those links I've attached underneath this podcast and give them a follow. I post all the stories to TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook for everyone's viewing pleasure. I'm so glad I was able to spend a little bit of today with you, and I hope you have a fantastic week. I will see you all next episode.